Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Here's Nylander in the Oilers' zone. Sharp angle shot. He scores! Here's Seaver. Great circle. Fires. He scores! 5 minutes. Oh, he's leveled by Andrew Shaw with a thunderous check. Here's a loose puck in front. They score! It's on! Should he score? The Cat connects with a one-timer.
It's time for another episode of Blackhawks Crazy.
Kemp kicks it to a stick in front, came over to Saad, put it to Kubalik, and shoots, he scores! His first Blackhawk goal, Dominic Kubalik! Bono there, fires, stopped in front, shot, rebound, score!
Chris Bowden and Scott King break down the latest storylines surrounding your favorite Chicago hockey team.
Welcome back to the Windy City, Andrew Shaw!
Now, here they are, Chris Bowden and Scott King.
Even though it's Monday, this is a late night with Scott and Chris edition of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast presented by FanList as we come to you from the United Center following the Blackhawks Sunday night 5-3 loss to the Washington Capitals to end their three-game point streak. Again, the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast is sponsored by FanList. FanList is the best platform for season ticket holders to sell their tickets. Are you a Blackhawks season ticket holder who sells multiple games? Get over to FanList.com/BlackhawksCrazy. That's spelled FanList, FanList.com. FanList partners with multiple ticket marketplaces and lists tickets for sale across all marketplaces all at once. Sites like StubHub, Vivid Seats, SeatGeek, GameTime, and many more. And they do all the work. Multiple marketplaces will increase your ticket exposure, causing tickets to sell faster and for higher prices. Plus, FanList is free to use. Registration and listing tickets are free. When tickets sell, FanList charges the industry standard 15% of the final sale price. It's the same rate that all those major marketplaces charge. There are no hidden costs or added fees to use FanList. It's the best way for you as a season ticket holder to sell your tickets. Go to FanList.com/BlackhawksCrazy to receive a $20 bonus on your first sale. FanList.com/BlackhawksCrazy. We thank them for being our presenting sponsor. Obviously, the big story of the night, without getting into the fact that they didn't keep their point streak going, was the NHL debut of Kirby Doc. And we've been waiting for a while for this. We knew the Blackhawks wanted to do it, Scott, to see what he can do in NHL action. And judging by what we heard from some of his teammates afterwards, and from head coach Jeremy Colleton, and you know, Troy said the same thing during our postgame show on WGN Radio as well, did not look at all out of place. Small sample size so far, but in terms of a day where, if it were me, I'd have butterflies popping out of my stomach, ears, nose, mouth, and everything else. He looked pretty cool, calm, and collected out there and handled himself pretty well. What were some of your impressions?
Yeah, I thought he looked really calm out there, handled himself well. I could see him being even more loose next time he gets to play. And I like the way he was kind of thrown into the deep end, second line with Kane and Strom. You're in the starting lineup on the ice.
He had the opening faceoff of the game.
Yeah, take it against Backstrom, and he won. He won it, and on the ice for the anthem. And he said it was pretty cool. He had seen some preseason games here, obviously, this year, and it was great to be on the ice for all that. He said it kind of helped with the butterflies, I think. But pretty impressive. Impressive, and we'll hear from Colleton, but it sounds like he certainly didn't hurt his case for playing again soon.
Yeah, I know everyone wants to kind of rush the narrative here to find out, okay, is it going to be 9 games? And then if it is 9 games, is it going to be 10 games, which means he's up here for the long haul? I think it's a little early to do that because, you know, there's a body of work he can potentially put together. I think at the very least what he did was assure that he's going to be in the lineup on Tuesday night when the Vegas Golden Knights come here, which, you know, when you think about who he's going up against in his first couple games of an NHL career, Ovi and the Capitals, and then you have the Vegas Golden Knights, who are one of the better teams in the NHL, the Western Conference, if not the NHL as well. So what I like about him is it doesn't seem too big for him. He doesn't seem too overwhelmed by it. I think you can probably say the same thing about the two guys picked ahead of him in Jack Hughes and Kaapo Kakko, who have been with their respective teams from the outset. But again, production has been a little bit slow for them. I don't know how high a bar you should necessarily set for an 18-year-old kid. Those two may have greater offensive upside or potential, but I think you just have to kind of let it be organic and let it come along with what you expect to see from Kirby here. And if he continues to hold his own and continue to improve from game to game, you know, I don't see any reason why it couldn't extend beyond the 9-game stint, you know, which is the limit before they'd have to send him back to juniors. But I think it's very possible.
I think it's very possible, too. Just from the sample size of tonight and seeing how, you know, we heard a lot about right after he was drafted, this is a mature kid who wasn't on social media till this year. He has his priorities straight, which, you can't even say that about 5-year-olds these days. And credit to the fans, too. You know, there was a lot of excitement when he was announced in the starting lineup. You got the sense that people expect this to be a generational guy, which he certainly has the body type and the game and the makings of that. And I think it was kind of early in the first period, right? He was strung on a puck in the corner, wound up making a move to the net, got Kane a nice pass, mm-hmm. a quality chance. I think, and that was something that, you know, he only got to play in Traverse City with the injury, that maybe a minor concern was, is he strong enough on the puck for his size? And he certainly looked that way against one of the top teams tonight.
Yeah, the frame is definitely there. There's still more of that 6'4 frame to fill out. But, there were three moments that he was involved in. It was the opening faceoff that he won against Backstrom. It was that setup for Kane. And then he got cracked in the mouth in the second period, which resulted in a four-minute power play for the Blackhawks, which unfortunately went completely the other way in the first 30 seconds of that power play. That's perhaps a topic we can get around to special teams here in just a moment. But for the here and now, let's hear from the 18-year-old rookie after his NHL debut.
It was good to kind of get out there, play my first game. Obviously, it was a dream of mine to be out there, but at the same time, we lost tonight, so it kind of sucks.
So, had you expected, or did it go a different way?
Obviously, you want to win in your first game in and kind of help the team that way. But, I felt good out there, but at the same time, there's things I can clean up in my game to kind of help the team moving forward.
What was the biggest challenge you found?
Just the pace of the game. You really don't know what it's going to be like until you step out there with those guys and just how big and strong they are and how heavy they are on their sticks and how they compete for pucks. So it was good to get out there, and I felt good, but at the same time, there's things in my game I want to clean up.
What do you think about the physicality, particularly with the high stake?
I mean, it's part of the game. It happens when you're 6 years old to all the way to 40 years old, so I'm not really too worried about the physicality part of the game or stuff like that.
I know you mentioned you found out this morning, but did you have any inkling last night to maybe give your parents a call?
I mean, I talked to them a little bit about it and kind of just said be on standby. And I mean, obviously they're here now and everything was figured out, so that was good.
How special was that to have them in the building?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, obviously not my whole family, and some of the people I'd like to have here weren't here, but it's good to have them here, and I'm going to enjoy their company.
Are you proving yourself as much as the team that you belong here?
Yeah. I think that's kind of my main focus right now, is just trying to belong here and stand out at the same time for good reasons, obviously. But I want to be a Blackhawk this year, and that's a goal of mine, and I'm striving for it.
Starting out on the ice and being out there for the anthem, make it a little more special for you.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, I got to obviously watch a couple of games here in preseason, and I've never really seen an anthem like that. It's pretty special to be a part of.
Did you feel nervous at all at the beginning?
Not really. I mean, I kind of just try to take everything one second at a time, one step at a time, and just stay focused on myself. But obviously, you got a little butterflies in your stomach when the anthem's going and you're kind of standing on the blue line looking around. So it was good, and obviously the nerves kind of can help sometimes, and sometimes they hinder your performance. But I tried to do my best not to be nervous.
What did you feel about the line that you got to play on?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, obviously grew up watching Kaner play and how successful he's been in his career, and Stromer coming into his own way and how good of a player he is. So they made it easy to play with those guys, and it was fun. I enjoyed playing with those.
What's the best piece of advice you got tonight from somebody in the room?
Just be yourself. Don't be somebody you're not, or try and change your game. Just play your game for who you are, and that's why they want here.
Doc's final numbers, a little less than 14 minutes of ice time, 17 shifts, one shot attempt. It was a missed shot on goal. And after that opening faceoff win, he lost his next four. But again, finishes minus one on the score sheet. And He wasn't the best player out there. He wasn't the worst player out there by any means. But we referenced before hearing from Kirby Dach about the difficulties the Blackhawks had on special teams. And it was, we're waiting for this to click after Stan made his moves in the offseason to hopefully shore up the penalty kill. And there was that two-month stretch last season when almost everything was clicking on the power play after nothing was clicking on it for the first 3 months of the season. Then it went dry again for the final months. So the Blackhawks 0 for 5 on the power play. We knew they had to stay out of the box against this Washington team, which came into Sunday night 7 for 20 on the power play its previous five games. Okay, so by and large, they stay out of the penalty box, but Andrew Shaw has a holding call in the offensive zone 9 minutes into this one, and it only takes them 8 seconds to score on their only power play chance. You combine that with the Hawks going empty on their five power play chances, two of those part of the four-minute high-sticking call that Kirby Dach drew, and you throw in a shorthanded goal from there. And this leads us into where this team is right now, and it's still very much, I think, a work in progress. You can't rush to conclusions one way or another when you're just, six games into the season here and having a very disjointed schedule. But I think what's become clear so far, and Troy and I discussed this as well in the postgame show, the Hawks' best players haven't been their best players so far this season. And this leads into the narrative that we kind of had in the offseason. Should we realistically expect Taves and Kane and DeBrincat to put up the numbers that they did last year? And if they cannot, is there enough depth? Easily the best line on this team has been the third line so far. And the fourth line had a pretty good night on Sunday night too. But we're still waiting for those guys on the top six or the top two lines to start clicking, and it just hasn't happened yet, Scott.
That's something Colleton touched on, is that the bottom six tonight were the guys. And, you know, he didn't go into the details about how the top six guys, aside from Dach, he really liked Doc's game tonight, aside from him, that, you know, your Taves, your Kane, your DeBrincat, they're not quite showing up the way you expect them to. And they don't have to have those astronomical numbers they had last year. You hope that they could get there, they could match that, or maybe even do a little better, but they still need to play their game and play to where they can play, because they haven't been anywhere close, really. You see Kane, what does he have, eight points in the six games? Yeah, obviously pretty good for a player in the first six games, but the razzle-dazzle hasn't kind of been there for him. Taves isn't as noticeable as you would expect him to be after the season he had last year. So, yeah, they need to pick it up a little, because right now the way the trend was going, it really kind of set in tonight that the bottom six are the ones that are hustling and producing.
Yeah, Kane is a point-per-game-plus player with 3 goals and 8 points in the six games so far. But then DeBrincat, both of his goals have come on the power play, and Jonathan Taves had a shin pad or a body goal in the overtime Friday night against Columbus, and Dylan Strome has just 1 goal so far in the season as well. Again, you would expect at some point those guys to get their motors and their numbers going here as we go along. But through six games, they have yet to do it, and you just wonder how long of a waiting game it's going to be, and you hope it doesn't end up costing them until they do find that rhythm. And you could hear a little bit of the frustration in Patrick Kane's voice when he was addressing the media. He scored that, his third goal was the Blackhawks' third goal that put them in a temporary tie in the third period, and the place was jumping once again. But in the end, that's where it stopped offensively for the Blackhawks, even when they pulled Corey Crawford, had a lot of zone time, but really couldn't get any great looks against Braden Holtby. And you hear Kane talk afterwards about his frustration, about not being as productive as that top six wants to be, as well as some of his thoughts on Kirby Dach's NHL debut.
Frustrating outcome when you guys probably felt like you deserved the points.
Yeah, you can look at it in the second there. We had a lot of momentum. Give up a shorthanded goal, so got to be better in that department. We also got to be better in the power play. So it comes down to little things like that. But good team, and thought we had a pretty good effort overall tonight.
What'd you make of Kirby on your line?
Thought he played well. Did some noticeable things where he's hanging onto the puck, big body. You know, he's obviously still a young kid, pretty raw, but for his first game against a really good team, one of the better teams in the league, I thought he was noticeable. Had some good shifts, and I think there's some chemistry to be built there. So I think we could even be better with him, myself and Strome. I think we can be better for him.
you say anything to before the game?
Not really. Just try to excite him. Try to not give him too much information. Obviously, the coaches are probably coming at him from all different aspects to give him a lot of info. But just talk to him about certain things throughout the game. And yeah, he's got a bright future.
The team doesn't give up a lot of shots. How are you able to get that many shots on goal? And how frustrating is it that you didn't score them?
Yeah, I thought we played pretty well. I thought that Camp line was really good again. They had a lot of chances, a lot of sustained pressure. I think a lot of the other lines, well, at least our top two lines can take a lot from that. You know, if we work hard, if we track down pucks, we should be able to create out there. So I think that's something we can do and keep building on. I thought we did it for the most part tonight, but can do it even better. And yeah, I think those bottom six forwards were leading the charge again for us tonight.
Well, what do you seem like he was really on his game.
Yeah, he played well. He's a good goaltender. So, I mean, there's going to be games like that. It would have been nice to cash in on the power play. Obviously, a bad break on the first one. DeBrincat probably buries that if his stick doesn't break. And then, you know, of course, we catch a bad bounce and they score. But I think the power play can be better for us. And, you know, if we get back to that level we were at for some parts of last year, it can be dangerous.
We mentioned some of the numbers with Patrick being more than a point per game, but then with DeBrincat and Taves and Strome. Another guy that we failed to bring up is Erik Gustafsson, is a guy who really seems to be fighting it and actually admitted as much to Scott Powers of The Athletic a week or so ago when he was approached. He had three assists in his first two games, but he admits he just doesn't seem comfortable with the puck, and you hope that somehow gets along. I know there's going to be an Adam Boqvist-related question when we do our slapshot questions here from our listeners and our Twitter followers and whatnot. But Gustafsson's a guy who seems to be fighting it on the other end of things. As we'll hear from Jeremy Colleton, too, some of the guys that, you know, you didn't necessarily expect. Alex Nylander, I was kind of surprised he was in the lineup on Sunday based on I thought you needed Zach Smith in there as a penalty killer against Washington, and he decides to take Zach Smith out, healthy scratch him and Perlini, and put Doc and Alex Nylander in there. Granted, you only had to do one penalty kill, and it didn't turn out very well. I don't know if Zach Smith would have been a saver in that sense, but Alex Nylander stayed on that fourth line, and he even got some bumped up time in the third period because he had that great assist for Drake Caggiula, and then was also part of setting up Patrick Kane. And, you know, I think he's slowly getting some traction. Now it's all about consistency with him.
He seemed to have gained a lot of favor from Colleton and showing that he can play up and down the lineup too, which would be a good trait for him to have. And the offensive flair is still there if he goes down to the fourth line. What did he score on Friday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, so he's stringing together some consistency now. And on Sunday, you know, his defense wasn't as much of a concern, maybe because of limited minutes.
Yeah, actually, that goal was against Edmonton on last Monday, which he poked the puck away from Connor McDavid and it resulted in that particular goal. So, yeah, again, we're not saying Alex Nylander is going to be a great player, but in terms of guys that you need stepping up, at least until these stars start clicking a little bit more, it's encouraging to see that. And speaking of encouragement, you'll hear the way Jeremy Colleton feels about the performances not only of Doc and Nylander, but also about, you know, still waiting for more from some of his top guys here. And after we hear from Jeremy here, we'll do your slapshot questions that you sent us for the podcast, the hashtag slapshot questions, once we hear from the head coach, Jeremy Colleton, after the 5-3 loss to Washington Sunday night.
So, pretty good effort, I thought. We love the pressure we put on, especially from our forwards. I think our forecheck was as good as it's been. Had, you know, second period was excellent. Great show of character to battle back. We, you know, we give up a couple goals that, you know, took some momentum away and made it hard on us. But overall, I'm pretty happy with the effort we had. And we talked about it in the room, like, there's some things we can clean up and things to improve on, no question. But the base of that game was pretty good. We can build on that. That's, you know, the compete level and the we did a lot of things right. And that's a pretty good team over there. And We're definitely not satisfied with the result, and you know, at home we want to get 2 points, but I think that was one of our better performances of the season, and sometimes you don't get rewarded, but over time, if you continue to play well, you do.
So, I thought Carpenter was a spark tonight.
Yeah, that line was excellent. You know, moved Jules to that line, and I thought the response was outstanding. They gave us a lot of positive shifts, scored a big goal for us, two big goals, really, and very valuable.
How would you assess Doc's debut?
Really good. Very pleased. He looked comfortable, made a lot of plays. Play away from the puck, I thought, was quite good. Pressured it, caused turnovers, was safe with it, made plays, but did it safely. And so, good start for him.
How good was that third line again tonight?
Yeah, they were turned the game for us. I think we're playing well, but they just took it to another level. And you know, not only did they score, but they really that was an explosive shift there. And it wasn't the only good shift they had, but it really gave us momentum. And they've been good. Well, I think you could say that for a lot of guys. Like, Nylander's been excellent. Kubelik's been excellent. Carpenter, you know, up and down. Now Doc steps in and is really good. That is very good for our team. Competition, and there's nothing wrong with everyone probably deserving a little bit more, because that means we have depth and we're going to be hard to play against. And over time, it's going to add up to some pretty good performances. So sometimes it's easier to be really good if you just play a little bit less than maybe you could handle. Where we've had trouble is when we get overextended. Too long of shifts, or put ourselves in a bad spot through puck management, then we get opened up. So if we can have a team where everyone could handle just a couple shifts more, then we're going to be much more effective out there, much better defensively, harder to play against, and we'll be able to turn games our way.
Moving Strom on the wing, is that more you don't want to take away his minutes than not wanting him at center?
Well, it's a matter of looking at our centers and who's most comfortable low. And I think Doc can do a real good job for us, and maybe it frees up Stromer to have a little more pressure on the puck up ice, make a few more plays. Last year he had a stretch with Anisimov where they kind of shared the center role, and then I think that helped him at times. It's an option, but I think with Doc in there, I like their center group a bit more. We'll see. That's something we'll talk about, but he didn't hurt himself tonight.
Slapshot questions. Tweet your questions to the guys at Boda Tweets and at Scott King Media for your questions to be read on the podcast.
Thank you, everybody, for sending your questions in using the hashtag Slapshot. So let's get to a couple of these that were sent during the course of the games as we tweeted out reminders to folks to send your questions in. And we have maybe two we'll put together here. We have Manny Donovan. Is he any relation to Ray? I guess we'll have to find out. Manny Donovan. And we'll couple his question a little bit with Gene Gene Dancing Machine. Gene Gene Dancing Machine was asking about getting Boqvist up. He says that the defense is slow. I don't know if the defense is necessarily slow, except for one pairing in particular. But we talked about Erik Gustafsson having some difficulty. Adam Boqvist would seemingly do what Erik Gustafsson did last year. Perhaps you'll see Adam Boqvist up. We'll see how Erik Gustafsson ends up doing. But in relation to that, Manny Donovan was asking, do you think Doc will be here for a long haul? Also, do you think Boqvist gets called up at any point, at least for a couple of games? Blackhawks can certainly do that if they want, especially if they run into an injury situation defensively. Slater Cuckoo sitting there as the seventh guy, but if they want a little bit more offensive flair, now that Boqvist is in Rockford, they can do that at any time. I'm not sure if that's going to happen anytime soon. But let's circle back to Doc, and we talked a little bit about it at the top of the podcast here. I don't know if there's any rush, but if he keeps showing Jeremy and the coaching staff, if he keeps getting the reaction out of Jeremy and the coaching staff as he did on Sunday night after his NHL debut, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he is up here for the long haul and they just decide to keep him. Granted, that burns that first year of his contract, but it's all about winning this season. And if he thinks the kid can be a part and have his game grow and have more of an impact as the season goes along, because we know it's all about making the playoffs this year, I wouldn't be surprised if he's up here for the long haul.
No, that's what I was going to say. We just heard Carlton is very high on him. If he's playing well, the center obviously a very important role, and you know, I don't know when they're going to try him out at the wing. If he keeps playing well at center, yeah, he needs to win more faceoffs, but Carlton was raving about his defensive play especially. We saw him create a good chance there. If they think he can continue to be consistent, if he shows a little bit of that and they think he can help in the playoffs, I don't think they're going to mind burning a year of his contract if he's helping them win.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, whether he's one of the best 12 guys to put out there in terms of the forwards. And it was kind of interesting because Doc was taking, you know, a handful of faceoffs early on, but then as he may have struggled a bit, Dylan Strom on that line got the opportunity. And Dylan Strom has really struggled on the dot so far this year. He came into Sunday night as 42%, but he ended up winning 5 of 7. Hawks got to be better in that particular situation as well. Another question using the hashtag Slapshots. Let's go to our pal Katrina here. And she was wondering, what's with all the broken sticks? There was a ton of broken sticks out there on Sunday night. But then when you look at the stat sheet, I was shocked by this, but it jumped out at me. The Capitals had 31 block shots on Sunday night. And I would say a handful of those probably had to do with block shots. Yeah, some Blackhawks broke their sticks as well. But I thought that may have certainly been a factor. But it was bizarre beyond belief how many times guys had to go back to the bench and pick up a new piece of composite. That happened with Kirby Dach, as a matter of fact. There's no rhyme or reason. I just think the broken stick gods were in the United Center on Sunday.
Broken sticks or problems with the ice. You saw DeBrincat fanned like twice on a power play. I think he was wide open. Kind of a weird October Halloween night.
No reasonable explanation for that, Katrina. I'm sorry, we're not experts on the broken sticks. We'll look into it. Maybe there was just everyone just got a crappy batch of sticks at this particular point. Yes, it's their secondary ones after already going through their first ones. And another fan that we're grateful of ours, Margot, she has a question about Jonathan Toews' production. And obviously, it's like night and day from what we saw him get off to last year. And it's slow going here for Jonathan. And he has had slow starts as well in previous years. And they need him and a couple of those other guys to get going. Jonathan talks publicly about, you know, he's been through this before. He's not going to worry too much about it. But even Troy says, no matter how great a player you are, if you're used to piling up points, you know, you do start pressing and waiting when it's going to happen. So hopefully this doesn't last too much longer. He's a great enough player where it shouldn't, but he's also coming off two down years before he just exploded last year. And you're hoping he can get back to at least some of those similar numbers of what he had last year compared to those two down years previously.
Even during some good years, he's kind of been a slow starter a lot of the time, right? So that's kind of just a part of how he plays. It takes a little bit to get going point-wise. Yeah, I still think he's doing some of the Jonathan Toews things you expect him to do. And, you know, if he can find a way to turn the switch and speed things up, he will. You know, I don't know why he hasn't been that noticeable. I don't know if it's something's inhibiting his mobility or what, but if he can find a way, he certainly will. And I expect his production to pick up.
And let's be honest. These guys' production, the numbers will take off once the power play takes off. So they have to get that power play, because that's when it was, you know, almost like, you know, a slot machine last year. When that power play was clicking for 2 months, that's when these guys were really, really pouring on the points. So, you know, it's chicken or the egg, which comes first, you know. And I would think once they can finally get that power play going, knock on wood, that'll happen. So thank you for all your questions there, and we'll take some more on each of our podcasts here. But, Scott, you know we buried the lead here tonight.
I think we did.
Because it was John and Troy bobblehead night, and I got mine autographed by Troy. I guess I'll have to bring it back because I didn't get John to.
I didn't know.
I actually didn't get my bobblehead until the second intermission. And you know, John takes advantage of that second intermission meal, so I didn't want to interrupt that either. So we will get it. But What'd you think? And I was really taken by how the fans were coming up to the booth and wanting them the boxes signed or the actual bobblehead signed. It was a great show of affection and support for our guys in the booth, and they were all happy to do it. And Troy was able to sign autographs while breaking down the game during pregame, which, you know, he wears many hats. He can chew gum and walk at the same time, which is more than I could do. He can sign bobbleheads and talk at the same time. So it was really great. And what did you think of the caricatures on that?
You know, I didn't take it out of the box, but I saw him before. I don't want anything to happen to him. I saw it before, and it's pretty close. Bobbleheads can be kind of far off of the person they're supposed to look like, but it seemed pretty good from the pictures of the video I saw. I might have seen him in person, too. But, no, it's great. I mean, good for them. Those guys are the best. You know firsthand how good they are. And, yeah, I saw fans coming up, like, long before warm-ups. And it's like a couple fans I saw being, oh, cool. You know, they appreciate John and Troy, and it was good on the Hawks for doing a bobblehead. Yeah. And then every minute there was more fans, and then I looked maybe like halfway through warm-ups, just a big line of people. So, I mean, and also just good on those guys. It's the kind of guys they are, that they would, even in the middle of a broadcast, would take time and sign the bobblehead box for fans.
Yeah, and I was like, Troy, come on. I need some thoughts here. I need some thoughts. But he was able to come through with his usual great analysis while he was busy taking boxes and bobbleheads and signing them and handing them back to the fans. So
I can do it, right? They're like right before a game, you think? Or
I don't know. The deadline may have passed now.
Can I give it to you?
And I joke with him about, is he looking forward to getting back to normal non-bobblehead life, non-bobblehead mania life? And he said in the post-game show, well, maybe I'll take it to bed with me tonight, and we'll have a picture like Ovi did with the Stanley Cup. I don't know if you want to go that far, Troy.
Like the Stanley Cup, you're immortalized forever. Your name's not written on something forever, but that bobblehead lasts forever, wherever people put it.
Yes, it'll be forever there. So congratulations to John and Troy for their bobbleheads and their continued excellent work on 720 WGN. And we want to thank you for your excellent work in sending us questions, listening to the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast presented by FanList. And we're going to come back at you again in 1 week. The Blackhawks will have four games between the time we're taping this podcast after the 5-3 loss to Washington. There's Vegas Tuesday. Is Tuesday going to be the night the Blackhawks finally defeat the Vegas Golden Knights 0-5-1 all time? Now, Vegas will be playing the second of a back-to-back on the road. They got Philadelphia on Monday night, and then they come to the United Center on Tuesday. Will Tuesday be the night?
I think it can. I didn't know about the back-to-back, so I think it can. You'll get a more loose Kirby Dach, who knows what the big league is like. And look, they played pretty well against one of the top teams in the league here on Sunday night, so maybe a better chance than the past. I'm not sure.
Yeah, they've really had a difficulty keeping up with Vegas's 200-foot game in all six meetings so far this season. So, yeah, and Marc-Andre Fleury, who had a shutout over Pittsburgh, cooled his old team, the Penguins, off on Saturday night, ended their five-game winning streak. So, but it is a back-to-back, so whether the flower will be in net here at the United Center on Tuesday. So I digressed. So we have Vegas Tuesday, the rematch with the Flyers on Thursday night, and then they finally hit the road again for a Saturday matinee in Carolina before coming back next Sunday against the LA Kings. So that's when we'll tape our next Blackhawks Crazy Podcast, and we'll have it ready for you on Monday morning. So again, we encourage you to subscribe on Apple Podcast, and it'll be waiting for you right there. Thanks as well to Curtis Koch for all his hard work production-wise and for working the locker room for us as well on Sunday night. And once again, thanks again to you for listening to the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast presented by FanList. We'll talk to you next Monday.
The Hawks win the Stanley Cup!
Thanks for listening to the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. Tell a friend, subscribe, and join the conversation. And follow the guys on Twitter, @BodenTweets and @ScottKingMedia.
That was great!